Give us silent hearts that are receptive and are willing to receive and trust you. Be with us, Blessed Mother, as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. Saint Joseph. I think there's a decisive moment in every vocation in which you make up your mind how you want to live out the rest of your marriage. Meaning, with the things that you can control, the things that are within your power, forgiveness, spending, free time, etc. In other words, you're not a slave to a lot of the things that are going on around you. Some of them, yes. Not all of them. In God's created plan, he said to us in Genesis, subdue things, subdue them. Put them under your foot. The whole Christian life is a constant battle to figure out what's trying to subdue you. Is it health? Is it addiction? Is it work? Is it emotion? An emotion, predominant emotion? Is it a healthy drive? An unhealthy drive? But if you look carefully at your life, you'll notice something is always trying to be on top of the totem pole. Sometimes it can be my children or one of their activities. Your prayer has to help you put things first, which is putting God there so that you don't end up allowing yourself to be subdued. It can be the culture. Hey, I'm fed up with the culture, fed up with politics. And so there's this constant like awareness of what's going on with the culture or what's going on in the politics, and you're just feeding it by reading or watching the television. And people watch programs that make them angry and read books, periodicals that make them angry, and I just don't get it. Like, I'm a Redskin fan, not like diehard, but I'm not reading like the sports journal about the Cowboys. Why? Why are people exposing themselves to the things that they know are frustrating them? So then you become a subject of that situation. Does everybody understand? It's craziness. The purpose of this talk is to come back to a simple reality of just the word prayer. The prayerful man or woman has already been conquered by God. God is always the initiator. God is the unmovable mover. He's always drawing you. But what happens is people just begin, sometimes unconsciously and sometimes consciously, keeping God away or putting these other things first And the effects is shrapnel. People suffer. People struggle. It's important that your marriage is a marriage that you recognize has within it the grace to heal itself with the grace from God. God gives the grace. But you want to be able to receive that grace so that you're constantly like healing yourself. Yeah, sometimes my body needs a surgeon, but every time I get a nick, I shouldn't be bleeding out. But it should have, like, and I'm finding Christians, and this is the point, they're getting a cut and they're almost bleeding out because they don't have the capacity to stop the bleeding. Okay? And so they're just bleeding out all the time. Your marriage is supposed to be able to coagulate and to stop the bleeding out. God's grace does that. How do you grow in that grace? Through your prayer. Prayer will prevent you so that you're just not constantly like in a state of a, you know, new blood. When you pray together as a couple, sure, there are the prayers that you all know, the rosary and divine mercy, maybe even reading scripture like the liturgy of the hours. But there must be a concentrated time where you and your spouse spend some real present time to each other. Getting a devotional, making a commitment to the devotional. I don't know how a couple can expect to be happy if God, who brought them together, is boxed out and only kept to Sunday. We shouldn't be surprised that there's unhappiness. Scripture points to the constant times where Christ called the disciples away to pray. He called them away before actions. Called them away after they had done things. He called them away to pray with him, just to be with him. When the two of you pray together, that's a moment of God. God is in that room with you. Do you see him there? Are you aware of it? The cell phone goes off. TV's turned off, and you're present to one another. So that the effect of that grace will help you to be stronger and to strengthen each other in your work. So God is pursuing you to draw you back to him. That is God. He's pursuing you to draw you back, that you would be with him. Your individual prayer is important. Your communal prayer with your children is important. Your prayer as a couple is important. Because taking time to pray in that moment prevents that little wall of a lack of communication from building up. That spirit of suspicion and doubt gets really in there, gets in there very, very quickly. And you have to be aware of what is the predominant weakness that always Satan seems to work on in you. And you need to bring that to your spouse and actually ask your spouse to pray about that. Is it abandonment? Is it rejection? Is it that spirit of isolation? Got a whole list of them. Is it inadequacy, loneliness, betrayal? Is it pride, arrogance, intolerance, criticism, or gossip? Self-centeredness, self-reliance, self-will, selfishness, indifference, indignation, impatience? Is it the spirit of vanity, sensuality, and talkativeness? Is it despair, doubt, fear, confusion, indecision? Is it lust, gluttony, greed, materialism, sloth, laziness, impurity, self-pity, jealousy, envy? Or is it violence, hate, revenge, and anger? There is in that list a lot of our struggles. I want you to be aware that without prayer, that struggle will grow and could take down your marriage. Like, I see couples now, and maybe you've seen them, and you ask yourself, why are you not getting along? Why are you divorcing? And you know, this whole idea of, what is it called now, like the mutual lack of love or whatever it says in the state, I can't remember, because I've seen them on paperwork. Like, how does that happen? If you are going to pray to Jesus Christ, who is on the cross, then you must be willing, if you really want to understand, to be the man or woman that climbs the cross with Christ and forgives your spouse that deeply. It is Christ on that cross. He forgives. He softens your heart. But there can be no communion without prayer. I asked a couple recently whose parent died. And they said, oh, my mom and dad were so happy. And their kid, this couple and their kids don't have any time for church. And they're not happy. You could see it in the meeting. They said, what was it about your mom and dad that made them so happy? Well, we had family meals. They went to church together. I said, well, why don't you follow that? Why don't you follow the example of them? It wasn't the SUV. It was what they did. And they showed them. This is why mom and dad were happy. Yeah, they had their brokenness. But they fought through it. So the first thing to put before you is, with this topic of prayer, is to ask your spouse, or to show your spouse, what is the biggest struggle that you're like experiencing in your heart when you guys are not getting along? What is the word? And I'm going to go over it again. Because, folks, you have to pray against that wound, against that spirit that's attacking your spouse. You have to literally pray against it. In the name of Jesus, I renounce for my spouse, with my spouse, the spirit of X. And you have to learn to label it, folks. Like, this is how I feel, sweetheart. Can you pray with me so I no longer just feel like abandonment? I don't know why I feel like this. Okay, take my spouse by the hand and I pray with you, Lord Jesus. Pour into my spouse the grace to overcome the spirit of abandonment. You're going in with the spiritual sword, right? Like, get out. So I'm going to go over the list and then I'll continue with the talk. So there's about 30, 25, but you might, if something rings true, and then you might write it down and then when you get a little time, you can figure out which one is yours. Abandonment. Rejection. Betrayal. Inadequacy. Insecurity. Isolation. Loneliness. Pride. Entitlement. Arrogance. Intolerance. Criticism. Gossip. Self-centeredness. Self-reliance. Self-will. Selfishness. Indignation. Indifference. Impatience. Vanity. Sensuality. Talkativeness. Despair. Doubt. Fear. Confusion. Indecision. Lust. Gluttony. Greed. Materialism. Sloth. Laziness. Impurity. Self-pity. Jealousy. Envy. Violence. Hate. Rage. Anger. Revenge. As you look at that list, with that, or whatever you wrote down, do all of you have at least one thing, and I'm going to get you to raise your hand, get at least one thing that you see that you would like your spouse to pray against? Can you raise your hands? Okay. Good. At least one for some of you. Maybe more. So what you want to do, and this is really how prayer will then propel you, so you're actively, aggressively, discerning like what's going on right now with my spouse. And then prayer is giving you the grace to be transparent. So let's say my wife says to me, honey, you know, she got off the phone with her mom, kind of a cruddy phone call. Mom always wanted her to be X and she's Y. And she feels kind of abandoned. Anyway, she goes to school and she says hi to somebody and they don't hear her. She kind of says, oh, there you go again. And then child comes home, gets a D on the test. She feels like, oh, I should have done a better job with the homework. Three totally unrelated things, basically. But she immediately goes to a place of abandonment. When my wife goes to a place of abandonment, she's angry. She's isolated. She eats too much. She eats comfort chocolate. Then she goes into this self-loathing. Look at me. All of this takes place in a matter of 3-4 hours. You come home and you're like, oh, have you seen my wife? That's not too far off of how something like this would happen. Does everybody understand? what difference would it make if you came home and you're like, honey, can I talk to you a second, man? I'm just feeling so abandoned right now. Honey, did anything happen? Well, you know, mom gave me the usual, you know, you're not good enough speech. Sally blew me off. Is it the first time Sally blew you up? No, she always blows me off, but whatever. And your kid, how'd your kid do? Oh, she got a D. You know, how's your kid usually do? Gets a D. So all of a sudden you just expect her to get an A. Because, I don't know, for some dumb reason you think your kid should get an A when they get Ds. The point of this is it all trumps logic and reason. And this overwhelming emotion leads you to a negative place. I want you to logically say, to address it, mom's usually like that, honey. Maybe we need to pray an Our Father for mom. Sally's usually pretty cold to you, or maybe Sally didn't even see you. You know, with the kid, we'll try better next time. Whatever. Second grade, no big deal. Right? Like, you're not the worst mom ever. At least not yet. Okay? We haven't got it into the teenage years. Right? Like, and then all of a sudden, what were three unrelated situations, and this is really important. If you can do this, I'm convinced that we will stop a lot of the sex wounds, shopping, all of that anger. You say, honey, will you pray with me in what I think? Well, what do you think it is, honey? Well, I kind of feel abandoned and rejected. Okay, come on, hon. I'm going to take your hands. I'm going to bless your hands. There's blessed oil out there. Bless your forehead. I put my hands on your head. I'm going to do what I should do as a spouse. Lord, in your name, I ask you to remove, to cast out, to take away the spirit of abandonment that my wife feels. That spirit of abandonment that makes her feel unworthy, discouraged, that makes her feel unlovable. Lord, you can do all things. Whatever it is, like, you have to go with it, and it's going to sound really awkward, but who cares? It doesn't have to sound like the spiritual Hallmark card. Just speak. But use your authority. Use your authority in your home. And don't let that emotion be like the low-lying incense around the house. The effects of not doing it are separation, isolation, moving to mutual corners, looking for attention, unhealthy use of electronics. So in your marriage, you have the capacity to do this. It depends on two things. Number one, your willingness to be transparent. It all starts with a simple question. Honey, what was the predominant emotion in your day today? I challenge you to go there. What was the predominant emotion of your heart today? Everybody get that? You should be able to identify it. And even if you're not sure, you just say, Lord, give me insight. That predominant emotion is a place, the negative place, where the evil one is trying to get in. Listen, you're going to scream at your kids if you feel abandoned. Because if you're feeling abandoned and you're doing everything for your kids and maybe you didn't have a lot done for you, I'm going to tell you right now, he's like, God, you're a brat. That's how you're going to feel. I've done everything for you today and yesterday and the last 29 years, even though you're only 8. And I've done it all. And you know what? I'm tired of you and I'm angry. You will see that the fog, the oppression will lift off your spouse. Guys, I challenge you to do the same thing. I challenge you, man. Like, let's say you get hammered at work with some temptation or struggle or anger. It's like, man, honey, I am just in a bad place right now. Well, the cold pop isn't going to take it away. Right? The 20-ounce Colt 45 is not going to do it, okay? That smoking that weed is not going to do it. You have to spiritually attack it. Here's why. If you don't, it's going to be waiting for you when you wake up. That's the thing I really want to drive home. It's not going to go away with that drink. Yes, it will remove itself because that evil spirit got you to do exactly what it wanted you to do. Separate and drink. And to get you in a habit of drinking. Don't worry. The evil one is really patient. You get that? He's really patient. He'll give you 5 years of really good, like, having two brews. But eventually he's going to, like, just have a third or a fourth. Come on. This is so constricting. Just have a fourth. Difference does it make? She's not your boss. He's going to wait. He is much smarter than you. The evil spirit is much smarter than you. So if you don't think, he's like, psh, go ahead, I'll back off for a while. I'll give you two beers for the next couple of years. And then I'm going to ante it up to four, whatever, 10 years? I'll give you that. Enjoy your life, man. I'll be back. Unless you begin to address the issue. Now, so you have to kind of aggressively attack it. It's really simple, man. You don't have to know a lot of prayers. Then you bless them. That's your spouse. And then I want you to put what a virtue in that place. In your name, Jesus, I ask you to put the spirit of peace in my wife's heart. Put the spirit of trust. Like, you can name it. Just figure it out. Honey, what would help you? I don't know. I just kind of get a sense I need peace. Okay, great. Give me a spirit of peace. Give her a spirit of love, spirit of mercy. The same reach out that people have with their friends or the internet, that sort of that, I'm stepping out of what's going to heal me with my spouse and going to run to this other thing or person or work or exercise. This is in an unhealthy way, right? If it doesn't come through the marriage, there will become a dependence on the other stuff. So you can slowly become dependent on work or golf, or even like, I'm entitled to be like this. I'm entitled to be the angry dad. And it's not true. So put the opposing virtue, even if you're not sure. Put a spirit of trust, spirit of joy. We've talked about a lot of them. Spirit of gratitude. Here's a really important question. Where is God in all of what you're going through right now? I ask that question all the time. People post in my office all the time. They tell me their struggles, and I just ask them, where is God in all this? And they say, well, he's not. I said, well, then you're wrong. You're totally wrong. You need to go pray. Because if you haven't figured out that God is in it, then you're just allowing yourself to get swept up and swirled around. Where is God? Tell me something beautiful that happened with you. That stuff is powerful, man. And then ask God for the communion. And then she says, oh, I'm just so exhausted. I say, Lord, give my wife the spirit of peace, the spirit of interior peace. Even though she's so exhausted, and I see in her such beauty, and I see how tired she is. I am so grateful for her sacrifice. And I ask you to strengthen her at this moment and give her grace to finish this day. Blah, blah, blah. So beautiful. Something of God. Doesn't have to be perfect, but invoked by the Father, the husband. She will come out of that pain, that sadness. This is where so many people are, maritally and outside of marriage. Now, the example that I used of the phone call from mom, Sally, your kid's got a D, that's sort of all natural thing. When I'm falling into sin a lot, one of the seven capital sins all the time, that has its own reverberation and mockery as well. So if I'm angry and I traffic on the way into work and that gets me angry, you want to realize that the anger doesn't stop like when you get out of the car. It's like, bye anger, I'll be back in 8 hours, okay? Like those things go with you. So you want to watch even by yourself, right? Like, Jesus, in your name, I renounce the spirit of anger. I renounce that. I renounce anger. I renounce you. Precious blood of Jesus, cover me. Being aware of that. The constant battle is on now. Do you realize that? Do you realize that Satan does set traps for you? That he sets traps. So you go to your college graduation and you see your old boyfriend. Don't overestimate your ability to overcome that. Meanwhile, you're looking at your old college boyfriend and you remember, because Satan's always going to bring back the memories, whether it's an emotional or a physical thing. He's like, oh, remember that? All of a sudden you're like, yeah, I remember that. Maybe there isn't some physical sensation. But you're thinking back, and there's a subtle soul tie that's kind of pulling you back. Meanwhile, you know, it's like, I got to get out of here. I got to get away from this guy. I miss him. I mean, I don't miss him, but I miss him, but I'm being told I miss him, but I don't really miss him because I'm happily married, and yet Satan's trying to pull me back or something's going on. That's when you make a choice to remove yourself. I see nothing wrong with that because you have a vocation. So old patterns of sin can also be a way to draw you back. Again, I want you to be aware because then that will come into the marriage. The ultimate goal is pull you apart in your marriage. So when you're like, oh yeah, maybe that's a possibility that, you know, my old boyfriend's going to be at the party. What, are you going in there like confident, like you can handle it? Or are you saying, yeah, I don't know, you know, it's okay. Pull a hamstring. Say you can't go to the party. You'll live. Party will go on without you. You know, you got kids, just blame on one of your kids, right? Kid threw up. Whatever. If they didn't, give them something to throw up. Anyway, make them throw up. Not in my church, though. Seriously. Some of them do it. And then somehow they miss it on the way out. Oh, I didn't know my kid threw up there. Yeah, don't worry about it. We have a full-time cleaning crew. Yeah, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, don't overestimate yourself. Okay? It's very, very important. Okay? Because what happens is Satan subtly says, oh, yeah, you know, it's good. It's good. It may not be the attack in that place, but he's going to try to lure, pull you down. He's saying, well, I wonder if Bobby's still got a Facebook page. Let me go see. Bobby Smith. And all of a sudden you start looking. Awful. The sin has already occurred. The sin of curiosity. That is a sin. The sin of curiosity. You are not entitled to go back and look at those things that you sinned with. You're not. Because that's a place of sin. And we can't say to our kids, well, don't hang around that boy. He's a bad boy. And he's like, well, Mom, you went back and looked on the Facebook. I can go hang out with this boy. It's the same thing. It's just different expression. It's very important that you discern these things. And when you pray together, you're like actually called out by the prayer. There's like this spiritual burst when you're like, oh, gosh, I was kind of getting surrounded, and now I don't feel so surrounded. Be very diligent and aware. And so sometimes you have to say, yeah, I was overwhelmed by temptations today, honey. I don't know what happened. I just was. Hated it. It's nothing against you. I really love you. But my old college girlfriend called and we were talking about Bobby and I didn't want to hear it, but Satan just started pecking at me about Bobby. And I hated it. I prayed, but just having you home is good. You say, okay, then you, husbands, and you bless her. You bless her. It's okay, honey. I understand. I'm here. The goal isn't then like, well, I want to make sure she's mine, and then I need to be intimate with you to draw her back. The goal is to say, I love you, and let's pray together, and let's talk this out. Let's be together. Let's work through this together. It's very important that you have to discern. And then you'll have more clarity. Is this good or not good? Okay? Very discerning. If my husband struggles with something, and I know he struggles, am I putting my husband in that place where they may fall and sin? Right? Be aware. You go to a wedding, right? Bridesmaids have on like half a dress or whatever those are called these days. I had one not long ago. I thought, gosh, did you just buy one dress and split it between five of you? I think everybody got like a quarter. Seriously. And I'm like, no, they're like, you want to go to the reception? I was like, no. Like, but anyway, like, you get my point? Like, then you want to be like, well, honey, we can't, I don't feel great going there. But realize, like, that statement is a real statement of beauty. It's not like, ugh, we can't go to a party. It's something deeper. Or you just stay for a little bit. I want you to protect your marriage. And you must be willing to protect your marriage. You must be willing to fight for that at all costs. Even if you get labeled, right? Oh, you stink, you can't drink, or you never go out, or your wife's like a ball and chain, whatever. I mean, come on, that stuff is so ridiculous. Because the culture is all doing that, so it's not that hard to do it anymore. It's actually the paradox. Everybody's doing it, so now the real man doesn't do it. Amen. Everybody's doing it, I'm told. So the real man or woman is not doing it. It doesn't take a real man to go to a party where they're dressed like that. It takes a real man to say, I'm not going to the party because they're dressed like that. And when you constantly choose those choices of love, it's incredible. There's a freedom. So what I want you to do, I want you to take a little bit of time. It's 10 of 2 and go away till about 2:15. And I want you to Or you can stay here, but you got to kind of be quiet. And I want you to just practice. I want you to literally renounce the things that you're struggling with together. Okay? And renounce the spirit of X. And then with your husband, with your spouse, to pray with them. How else can we overcome these things? Your marriage was meant to heal itself. Your marriage was meant to be a healer. Like, that's why you got married, so that my wife is healed through me, and my wife, and I'm healed through my wife. It's beautiful. God made marriages to heal each themselves. It's a body. But what stands in the way is pride and jealousy and, you know, sort of a selfishness. Okay, folks? And I want you to try to make a commitment to do this. It doesn't take 3 hours. It's just a five-minute prayer together. Okay? And if you wake up in the morning and be like, man, honey, I'm in a bad place right now. All I could think about is what Sally said 2 weeks ago. Pray with her. Right? Like, I'm not letting Sally have dominion in my wife's head. I'm not letting her. Get out, Sally. Get out, mother-in-law. Right? Get out. It's beautiful. And then you become like really a protector of your spouse's heart and your spouse's mind. And then what happens is their body's free. But if their mind and their heart is not free, their body is not free. So really, I want you to think about that. So if I'm in your spouse's head and Sally's in your spouse's heart, you don't have a spouse. Does everybody get that? If someone's in her head or his head, and someone's in their heart, forget about it. That body is just a mass. It's sad. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.